It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions 18+. Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18+.
Football Social Daily with German Doner Kebab. Get it delivered to your door via Deliveroo or Uber Eats.
Hello, welcome to Football Social Daily from Sports Social, the Premier League podcast, keeping you in the loop with all the goings-on in the English top flight. Thanks for downloading the show. If you're new around here, why not hit subscribe if you like what you hear and you won't miss another episode again. Now, if you're a regular listener to the podcast, you'll know that we often like to have a bit of fun from time to time. So today's episode of Football Social Daily, we're going to do exactly that. Now, the Premier League's currently suspended due to the coronavirus outbreak, but had that not have happened, the dust would have been settling on the final day of the season, where the title, European places and relegation would all have been decided. But of course, that is not the case, so we've decided to take it upon ourselves to discuss what might have been on today's podcast. Top scorer, Premier League manager of the season, we'll discuss the lot. And alongside me to do it, we've got Marley Anderson and Ant McGinley. Hello, boys.
Hello.
Hello.
And so I heard on the old grapevine that you've turned your hand to wrestling during this lockdown period. Is that right? Surely not.
Well, you know, the thing is, this is the time when people have a lot more time on their hands and they discover new skills and abilities. And most people go to the kitchen, and I have gone into the squared circle.
You must have a wrestling nickname, surely. You can't start a wrestling career without going in there with a top drawer nickname.
See, you're showing off how much wrestling knowledge you've got there. I am, in fact, indeed, henceforth, and for the rest of my career, will be ever known as the Ginger Ninja.
The Ginger Ninja. Very good. Well, hopefully you get plenty of success in the squared circle and you pick up a few titles along the way. That's what Liverpool would have been hoping to do this season. Let's get cracking. This is the Premier League What Might Have Been podcast. Lots of gaps for us to fill in, but as I've just mentioned, not really at the top, because when the league was suspended, Liverpool were 25 points clear in the title race. That's if you can call it a race. I think it's looked pretty certain that Liverpool were going to win their first league title in 30 years for absolutely ages. Now, everyone knew that it was going to happen, but of course it hasn't happened yet due to this suspension of the Premier League. So let's presume that this never happened and the season continued as normal. Marley, for me, I can see no other outcome than Liverpool lifting that Premier League trophy.
Yeah, I think they'd have just about held on. with that slight lead, you know. I mean, obviously 25 points. How many more games did they need to win? Was it one or
I
two?
I think two. Nothing really.
Two. I mean, to be honest, if this whole thing, I'm just glad that Liverpool haven't had the chance to spend their last day of the season at Newcastle, because that was their last game of the season at St James's Park, and it was going to be one of them where all the away fans overtake the entire thing. They would have brought thousands up to line the street and what have you, and it would have been a nightmare to police and everything like that. So I'm just happy that Liverpool would have won it long before then, and with this current situation as it is, the fans wouldn't have been allowed anyway. So they clearly would have held on though, wouldn't they? I mean, 25 points, which would have been 22 if Man City had won there. their game in hand. One defeat all season. I very much doubt Liverpool, who love it. They love a collapse. However, this would make Newcastle's collapse in 95-96 look like a drop in the ocean compared to something like that. So, yeah, I'm going to stick my neck out and say Liverpool would have just about held on to the title, probably by a good 19-20 points, I would say.
It would have been a collapse of Jenga-esque proportions, to be honest. I mean, one brick comes out and the whole thing comes tumbling down. I couldn't see Liverpool slipping up. I mean, they're probably not going to, and it looks likely that we're going to get football again in the next few weeks, perhaps. So Liverpool probably will end up clinching the title. But interestingly enough, and you're a Manchester City fan, and you were Liverpool's closest contenders. Well, it was a toss-up between you and Leicester for a long while. Surely you're not going to go down the controversial route as a City fan and say City would have made up the 25-point gap?
When you use the word closest there, that's closest in the sense that I'm as close to being in WrestleMania. there's quite a long way off. And I have to say, despite being dyed-in-the-wool Man City fan my entire life and having really enjoyed and relished what the last 12 years particularly have brought to us as a club and as a fan, and the change that we've seen in terms of the players and the style of play and the staff and the owners that have come in, about 18 months ago, 2 years ago, I started to get really frightened of Liverpool because I could see what was happening. And my worst fears came true, but at the same time, a little bit like a roller coaster, I've really enjoyed those fears because what we've seen from Liverpool has really thrilled me. Like the way that they've played, the style, it's almost like they saw what Man City did and just did that classic meme, hold my beer, and just came and took it to the next level. And you know, as much as this may upset some of my fellow fans at the Etihad, I've really enjoyed seeing Liverpool this season. I've not enjoyed it when we've been up against them for the last couple of seasons because we've not done particularly well. But they've been superb. And I just, my biggest disappointment about everything around the coronavirus within sport, just to put that context in there, is that whatever way this plays out, it's going to feel hollow in some way because we're not going to get to that championship lifting the trophy at St. James's Park or wherever that would be. That's not going to happen. There's not going to be that parade through the streets. And when there is that parade, I'm sure that something will happen at some point. So much time will have passed. And I know what it feels like to be in a crowd of people celebrating that open top bus tour. I mean, we were both there in the centre of Manchester this time last year, celebrating that. And I just think it's sad for the city, it's sad for the club, it's sad for the players. But you're right, there was no other way it was going to go down any other way. And we were all completely surprised by the Watford defeat, but that is not even a blot on the copybook. It's not going to block. The way they played as a team was superb. Nailed on. That's all I can say.
There's no way that Liverpool were going to succumb that lead, Marley. Absolutely no chance if the season were to have continued in normal vein, so to speak. However, someone said before, we've had a reviewer say that I despise Liverpool and I hate Liverpool. Now, as tedious as their supporters on social media can be, as Ant says, you can't deny that Liverpool deserved the title. I mean, they found a way to win, whether it be, some people say through VAR, some people say through luck, but the majority of games they've had, they found a way to win and they've deserved the victories in pretty much most of their games. And, you know, the table doesn't lie, to use the old cliche that we've both used on the show before. They deserve the title, don't they?
Yeah, of course they do. I don't think I'm struggling to think of any any games where I thought they've been lucky there. They genuinely shouldn't have won that game.
I've got one, Sheffield United, where Dean Henderson let the ball through his legs, but they weren't losing that game. That was 0-0 until late on. So, I mean, that would have cost them 2 points, which lo and behold means that they Odin would have been 23 points clear at the top. So, do you know what I mean? Yeah, I don't think any games they were losing. I mean, there was a couple where I think there was one they came back to 3-2, but I can't remember who that was against. But the only one that really sticks out in my mind was the Dean Henderson one.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a few decisions, haven't there? I think in the grand scheme of things, though, you just can't hold anyone else close to them, because if they didn't deserve it, who did? I mean, Man City have been way off what they were last season compared to this season, once they lost Kompany and didn't really solve the left-back issue and had a couple of new players to bed in. So, I mean, once you take them out of the mix as well, no one else has even been anywhere near to what you would describe as genuine title challenges. And then added onto that, Liverpool have been absolutely amazing. Probably not played as good football as last year, but have had that steel and that mentality you need to get results over the line and grind out a few results when they need to, and they're not playing quite as well. So yeah, I mean, it's just they've absolutely walked it, and as insufferable as their fans can be sometimes on social media, you kind of you can't argue with it, can you? I mean, their team's been the best. Like, it's been 30 years they've had to wait to get a league title, but it's amazing for their fans to finally see them clinch it, and albeit in these weird circumstances where there might be, you know, every other fan base will probably say, well, there'll be an asterisk over that Premier League season forever, and there probably will be, but Liverpool are in such a way that they could go on and win it next season as well, and they'll be hoping to do that. And I think when we do restart, like, for good kind of thing, they'll be just as hungry to go and win it almost properly, without this whole delay and stuff, and win it again just to prove the doubters it wrong even more, and really rub it in the people that really didn't want them to win the league. And but we are going to have to get through that storm of Liverpool fans who just will not shut up forever. You know, when they finally do get their hands on that trophy, because they're bad enough when they win the Champions League, so never mind what they're going to be like when they win the actual English league and they can talk to English fans about how good their side is for the next decade or wherever. So, yeah, we've got that to come.
Yeah, I mean, Liverpool deserve utmost respect and credit for what they've achieved, but when I see some people on social media saying that Virgil van Dijk is the best defender to ever have lived on planet Earth, I just think sometimes, come on, boys. Surely you don't believe that yourself, but never mind. I think we're all in unanimous agreement that Liverpool will have won the Premier League. So in the what might have been stakes, top spot in the Premier League from us here at Football Social Daily, of course, goes to Liverpool. Now, on that front, Ant, do you think Jurgen Klopp, the Liverpool boss, who's won an unbelievable 4 or 5 Manager of the Month awards this season before the campaign was suspended, do you think Jurgen Klopp would have been a shoo-in for Manager of the Season? Because for me, he's got some notable contenders. What do you reckon?
So, interesting, the question you've asked me, do you think he would have? Yes, I think he would have. Do I think he should have? No. I think he would have, because the way these things go is they often just give it to the winning team coach. But that's not always the best decision. Now, don't get me wrong, you're going to be hard-pressed to put a case against Jurgen Klopp. In fact, I'd say you'd have to be an idiot to argue against him winning it, which is exactly what I'm about to do. Not just because of his success on the pitch, but he's just a really likeable guy. Out of every manager in the Premier League and even further afield, I think he is the one that you would like to go for a pint with, that you would like to have at your birthday party, at your wedding. It's the one you'd probably marry. And as well as what he's done, and he's done some genius stuff on the football pitch, and he's handled some situations so well, even through this whole coronavirus crisis that we're experiencing, where a lot of people have said some really stupid and thoughtless things, he's been really clear, and he said, look, you know, football's not important, this needs to be taken care of. And that's had a big influence on people. Now, all that said, I'm going to put my money somewhere else. And based on who I'm predicting to stay up, and so it would be conditional for that, I would put forward Nigel Pearson for manager of the season.
Nigel Pearson? Wow, okay.
That is a rogue shout.
Yeah. That is a rogue shout, Marley, because for me, the two contenders to Jurgen Klopp's possible manager of the season crown were Brendan Rodgers at Leicester, because Leicester, I think, have been excellent this season. I mean, it looks like, I mean, for me, if I was doing my Champions League predictions, and we'll come on to that shortly, Leicester City would be up there in the top four. So for them to even have been in with a shout of being in the top two of the Premier League this season deserves credit. And of course, Chris Wilder at Sheffield United, who many tipped to go down at the start of the season and now look like they're going to finish comfortably in the top 10. Rodgers and Wilder, for me, would be the contenders to Jurgen Klopp. And has gone left field with his Nigel Pearson shout.
Massively. I didn't expect to see Nigel Pearson's name get thrown up there. I mean, it depends on whether Watford survive, and even if they do survive, I think they always should have survived, so I don't think Nigel Pearson should be in that mix, to be honest. But yeah, I mean, you mentioned his name. For me, it'd be Chris Wilder. I don't really mind I don't really care what happens with Klopp, because Liverpool were always capable of winning the title. It just, like, they've done what they should do, as in they should be in the top two, and it's not really a surprise if they win it. Whereas Sheffield United were tipped to go down by pretty much everyone. They have no real standout stars who you thought, well, he's gonna be a real player in the Premier League, and they've had that proper team mentality, and they're currently seventh in the Premier League with 10 games to go. So I don't think you can look past him. I mean, they're above Tottenham, they're above Arsenal, Everton, Newcastle, Southampton, all these big clubs that they're just absolutely leaving in their wake. I mean, Watford have been a Premier League team for how many years now? Four or five years, something like that. And they're fighting relegation, and Sheffield United aren't. And everyone's going to Bramall Lane and not coming away with much. And they're not scoring many goals, but they're not conceding many. I think there's only one team in the league that's conceded less, and that's Liverpool. So if you look at that, I mean, that is ridiculous to do. It's a hell of an achievement by Chris Wilder. And if you look back at his career, he's never failed anywhere he's been. In the lower leagues, he's done well with Oxford. He was at Halifax for a little while, way down in non-league a few years back. And then he got his dream job, Northampton as well, yeah. Sheffield United is his club. It's his local bloke, which is always nice as well to see local guys doing well at their clubs. And he's absolutely smashed the job. I mean, the test is to stay there as much as possible and take Sheffield United to the next level. But when you sign in £25 million midfielders like Sander Berger, who was wanted by a lot of Europe's top clubs, and you're attracting him to Sheffield United, the foundations are in place there for him to build a genuine, proper Premier League side and build them for the next 10 years. So I think that achievement alone would be enough to give Wilder the manager of the season gong this year, whenever it gets handed out.
And my case is based on the fact that it is manager of the season. So you're looking at the season that you've got. And yes, I think you're right. I think Wilder is definitely and should by all means be up there, because I think a lot of this is down to what the way I see it should be is not just about what you've won, because some people would argue you can go and buy the league, those kinds of things. But it's what you've been able to do with the resources that you've got. And Wilder has done an undeniable job completely. However, I was one of the people that did say they would do well. I had them to come top 10. And that's, well, if the season finishes, that's a nice little payout for me. On the other side of things, where Watford were, they had two managers gone already before Pearson came in. Even before Pearson had come in, they were dead and gone. For Watford to stay up, it would be the equivalent, from the position they were in, it would be the equivalent of Liverpool throwing away the title.
No, surely not. You think so? I think there was always one or two wins in it down there in the relegation zone. And I do think that, you know, when Troy Deeney came back from injury, I think that was a big boost for Watford then. So I think maybe Deeney should get more of the credit than Pearson.
But then Deeney does have that wonderful statistic from playing, was it four different managers in the same season at the same club and in four successive games because his injuries were so bad and various managers that he had. I think the thing is there is a lot of momentum that you can put to Liverpool, obviously, because they've been building for a few years. Sheffield United with Chris Wilder, he did so well in the Championship last season and before that as well. They've built that momentum. Whereas what you're looking at is in terms of, this is not about the team, it's about the manager and the job that the manager's done. And that is why I'm going for Pearson, because he's transformed that. For, you know, three other people were unable to do that with Watford, who were an FA Cup final team this time last year, remember? And arguably, that's when they started to drop and go downhill because they had a terrible 6 months after that. But in terms of manager of the season, what he's done, and it's not the first time he's done this. A lot of the credit for Leicester's success in 2016 goes to what Pearson did then. He's not the most likeable character, but it's not a popularity contest. It's in terms of what they've done to that team.
He'll just call you an ostrich if he doesn't like you. He'll just say, you are an ostrich.
Were you the journalist he called?
I wasn't. No, I wish I was. Can you imagine? That would be the perfect Twitter bio. Nigel Pearson once called me an ostrich and said my head was buried in the sand. It would be brilliant. Well, Ants nailed his colours to the mast there, Marley, for Nigel Pearson. Yet again, he's bringing some points to the table, saying that Nigel Pearson keeping Watford up is the equivalent of Liverpool throwing away the 25-point lead. I'm not so sure that's the case. Personally, for me, it's hard to look past Wilder or Rodgers, but we're going to need to make a decision between us. I don't think Ant is going to budge from Nigel Pearson. Jurgen Klopp might actually get overlooked in this situation, unbelievably. So come on, who are you rooting for, Marley? Out of the names we've mentioned, who's going to be your solid choice for manager of the season?
Yeah, for me, it's got to be Chris Wilder at Sheffield United. I think I don't think anyone's done what he's done at this level for a long time, and for him to do it this year as well, when the league's very, very competitive and all the rest of it, with a small budget and everything like that, I think he gets it for me. So I'm sticking with Chris Wilder.
All right, cool. Well, I'll go with Chris Wilder again. I can't believe we've decided between Chris Wilder and Nigel Pearson as our manager of the season. I just never thought...
You can't say we're toeing the line with any other... We're individual, we have our opinions. And I'll say I'm happy with Chris Wilder getting that.
Exactly, and that's the reason it's called the What Might Have Been podcast, because you can't argue with us, because it hasn't actually happened. No one knows what the true outcome is. That's why we're doing it on this episode of Football Social Daily, and we'll have more predictions of what might have been after this.
Football Social Daily with German Doner Kebab. Kebabs done right and delivered right to you via Uber Eats and Deliveroo. Football Social Daily. Subscribe to the podcast now so you never miss an episode.
Welcome back to Football Social Daily from Sports Social, the Premier League podcast, keeping you up to date with all the latest goings on in the English Premier League. But for this edition of the show, we'll be looking across what might have been in the top division of English football this season. Of course, the season's been suspended due to coronavirus, so we thought, seeing as it was due to be the last weekend of the season and everything has already been decided, if things had carried on as normal, we thought we'd fill in the gaps for you and come up with our predictions of who's going to win the league, who's going to be manager of the season, who's going to finish in the Champions League spots. And it's the Champions League spots where we find ourselves now, because we've decided between us Liverpool would have won the title. For me, two of them are easy to get, Ant. I still think Leicester and Manchester City would be two and three in whichever order you choose. I think it's the fourth spot, which I'm struggling to figure out who goes there. What about you? Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would. See, Chelsea are the one in question when it comes to who's going to get that fourth spot. And when you look at the games that Chelsea had left, they have it tough. Because not only are they up against Sheffield United and Wolves, who are sniffing around not just for Europa League, but potentially any slip up and take that fourth place. They also had Liverpool. And then down the other end of the table, there were scraps against Villa and Watford and West Ham, who are all fighting for their life in terms of Premier League survival. So I think from that point of view, Chelsea, are in no way can you say that they are guaranteed to get that fourth spot. Manchester United, they've been so up and down. So actually, where I would go with this, and also, I not just because I'm a Man City fan and I don't want to see United get there, but I would love to see Wolves sneak it. And I could see that happening as well. They've done so well, and you know they've done the double over City this season. They finally got the best out of Adama Traore, who's just been a revelation this season. We always knew he was fast. He was kind of underused in previous seasons, but this season he's really come alive and made a difference. He's almost taken over the White Stripes song, which was the Kevin De Bruyne song. It's almost become now more synonymous with Adama Traore, which is something impressive. And Wolves have managed to do this and succeed in the Europa League. They've managed to keep going, which suggests that, you know, the club is set up and looking for that Champions League and moving towards that, even though we don't necessarily think of them, you know, because it's only two seasons ago they were in the just coming up from the Championship. So I think in terms of who's in and around them, Chelsea have a tough run in. Manchester United have been too inconsistent. I don't think Sheffield United or Spurs have got the legs in them to get there. So I would put fourth place down to being Wolverhampton Wanderers. 9 games to go. 5 points off Chelsea. That's where I'm going.
Wow, okay. Another hot take from Ant McGinley there in his predictions for the rest of the top four. I think we have all agreed that Liverpool will win the title. I think we're all pretty much unanimous in agreement that Manchester City would finish in the top four. And I think Leicester too. I don't think that takes much arguing for me. Although their form certainly has taken a dip since Christmas, I still think Leicester had enough and a big enough of a points cushion to remain in the Champions League spot. So for me, can't see Manchester City or Leicester slipping out of the top four. I mean, Wolves, Marley, I mean, it's not the most outrageous of shouts when you see Chelsea's running, as Ant says, but I'm still struggling to decide who fourth place goes to. Are Manchester United perhaps being overlooked here?
Possibly, yeah. I mean, I'm looking at this. It's very tight, isn't it, in there? The thing is, with Man United are on a great run of form, but we know that they're just up and down. Like, we know that if they go back to the times where Bruno Fernandes wasn't in the team, for example, if he got injured, then it's such a blow to them. Like, he's completely transformed the team since January. Everything's going through him. And to be honest, if the season restarts now, they've also got Rashford and Pogba back. So if you were saying what would happen when it starts again, Man United would be hot favourites to catch Chelsea and possibly even Leicester, who were on a poor run of only one win in the last five before the league got suspended. But if it hadn't have been suspended, then Man United still wouldn't have had Rashford, for example. Bruno was playing very, very well. And I think Leicester could have got caught, you know. I just think with their form dropping off, like since the turn of the new year, they've been poor. They were neck and neck with Man City chasing, well, not chasing Liverpool, but they were the next in the pack. Now they're 4 points behind, having played a game more, so they've completely... They blew that. Vardy had his injury worries and what have you. So I just think they were heading the wrong way when Chelsea and Man United were heading the right way. So maybe they could have they probably would have been caught, in my opinion. And they might have finished fifth and almost finished third in a three horse race with Chelsea and Man United for that for those final two spots in the Champions League. So I'd probably go for Chelsea. I think Chelsea Man United would have been like literally neck and neck, like goal difference style. I think they would have been the same, maybe a point or two at most. And I think they'd have both edged Leicester. I think Leicester would have came fifth, and Chelsea and United would have overtaken them, providing Bruno had stayed fit, which he, for the sake of argument, you would say he would have, because he wasn't injured before the suspension of the league. So you'd have to say, maybe, you know, he would stay fit and stay playing well. So maybe Man United for me in the fourth spot, and Chelsea in the third spot, and Leicester down in fifth with Wolves. I think Wolves would have been still a little bit too fighting on the Europa League front, a little bit more than going for that top four place, potentially trying to win the Europa League. Who knows what would have happened there. And then up lower than that, you've got Sheffield United and Spurs and Arsenal and what have you, and they'll have to go again next season to try and close that gap. But for me, I think Chelsea third, Man United fourth, and Leicester fifth.
Oh, interesting. Interesting selections. Contrasting Ant's selections, certainly, who picked Wolves to finish in the top four, along with Liverpool, Manchester City, and Leicester City. Right then, will it be as contentious down the bottom end of the table? Now, Ant, you've already revealed that you think Watford are going to stay up. You think Nigel Pearson is going to be the man to pull off the great escape and keep Watford in the Premier League for another season. So, in that case, who's replacing Watford in the bottom three? Who are your three teams to have been relegated from the Premier League this season if things had carried on as normal?
So, Norwich, which is not controversial, and people can accept that, definitely. Sadly, I think Aston Villa are just going to fall short. And they're not going to make it. And then it's two teams that have been real staples of the Premier League for many seasons. And there's literally not even a cigarette paper between the two of them. But I see it being between West Ham United and Bournemouth.
Mm.
And those are the two teams. Now, in my heart, I would love to see Bournemouth somehow stay up.
You old romantic, you are. You're a football romantic.
I know. And I think there would be an absolute riot at West Ham with the feelings that have been well documented between the fans and the board and everything that's happened there, and the amount of money that's been spent and the turnover of managers that they've had and the promises and the dreams. It's a turbulent club completely. So
it would be quite entertaining to see, wouldn't it, if West Ham went down. The meltdown would be very entertaining to watch, yeah. No less from Jim.
Well, yeah, our boss.
Let alone any of the other West Ham fans.
Yeah, although, you know, at the same time, I think it might do them some good, because they would suddenly not be as frustrated. They would just kind of go, it would hurt, but they would get over it and move on and move forward. I really like that we have a team in the Premier League with a ground that only holds like 12,000.
11,000, yeah.
And it's the Cherries, they've got, it's a beautiful little stadium that they've got down there. It's a great club. They've done a lot. And I don't think, I've heard people talk about them maybe outstaying their welcome. Eddie Howe has changed this season. He's really changed it. You see the stress that he's under. He doesn't look as young. He doesn't look as dashing. The hair's not quite as perfect when he's been doing the post-match press conferences. The question is do they have enough to get through? And if it comes down to between West Ham United and AFC Bournemouth, 9 games left, same points, slightly better goal difference for West Ham in that respect. With what they've got to go through and what they've got to do to get through that, it's at this point when it's the team that is most important. And so for that reason, I would say that Bournemouth would actually stay up, because West Ham do not feel like a team. They have some great players. They have a core of great players, but they've been so chopped and changed. I don't see them. It's just gone from bad to worse. And so I would say West Ham to go down.
I mean, I've seen West Ham in the flesh a couple of times this season, and the times I have seen them, albeit it was before the turn of the year, so I haven't seen them post-Christmas, but the times I did see them, I just thought some of these players looked like they've never even met their teammates, and it was the first time they were playing together, let alone being part of a squad for 6-7 months in pre-season and all through the rest of it, trying to get some results together. Marley, would you go along with that? I think for me, Norwich are definitely nailed on to be relegated this season, unfortunately for them. So I think we can all agree that Norwich City are going down, unless you've got a wild take on them possibly staying up.
Yeah, I think Norwich are going down. I also would asterisk that, as I think they're the best bottom of the league side I've ever seen in terms of the way they play and everything like that. They try and play properly. They've had some great results. They beat Man City. They beat Leicester recently. They absolutely hammered Newcastle on the second day of the season, which was depressing for me to watch, but they were very good. And I think they'll actually finish above Villa. I think Villa are woeful. I really do. And I'd love Norwich not to finish bottom. just because I don't think they deserve to finish bottom. The results and the performances they've put on, they're an inexperienced side with not many big players in terms of names and wages and what have you. And I think them fighting against Aston Villa, and Aston Villa have spent a lot of money and got nowhere really in terms of what they've actually got for their money. They haven't got too much. You know, Wesley, the striker, was a lot of money. He's only scored 3 or 4 goals. Grealish has obviously been amazing, but he's pretty much a one-man team. If you can stop Grealish, you beat Aston Villa 9 times out of 10, don't you? So it's obviously between them two for the bottom two places. But the other one, I mean, you're probably looking at 1 from 3, aren't you? West Ham, Watford and Bournemouth. Possibly Brighton could get sucked into it, but they've got a much better goal difference. So they're probably looking at being 3 points above West Ham and Watford and Bournemouth rather than 2, when you take that into account. I was just looking at the fixtures, and what I would say is that I think Bournemouth's run of games that they've still got to play is harder than West Ham's. So I mean, looking at Bournemouth, their home games, they've got Leicester, Spurs, Newcastle, Southampton and Crystal Palace. So if you're looking at games they can realistically win, they've got three chances there against Southampton, Newcastle and Crystal Palace. And then they've got, you know, they've got an away game at Everton. They've got an away game at Man United and Man City. So their goal difference is going to take a whack there, because the way Bournemouth play, they get picked off 5 or 6 by Man City every year and they never change. And this is the one thing for me why Bournemouth are down there. It's because as good as they play nice football, they keep it on the floor and they try and play properly, if that's what you want to call it. They've just never learned another way to grind out results and to be hard to beat. I think if you play them at football, they probably punch above their weight a bit. So when they go away to Arsenal and they go away to Man City and they go away to anyone pretty much, they try and play their way, and it doesn't always work. Sometimes it works and they win 3 or 4 nil, but then 9 times out of 10 they tend to lose that game. And if you're backing them, you're playing, if you look at the likes of Burnley are 10th in the league and they play the ugliest football in the league, and it's just because that works for them and it's hard to beat. I don't think Bournemouth are hard to beat. You've just got to be better at the sum of their parts. Like Bournemouth, they just haven't got a second way of playing. I think that's why they're in trouble. However, I do like how they... It's a bit of a contradiction, because I do like what they're trying to do. I just don't think it always works for the Premier League. And I think that's where Eddie Howe's... the questions over him remain for me, because if you're in charge of a football team for... I think they've been in the Premier League for 5 years now, Bournemouth, and they've never had that. He's never worked out a way to make them better each year. It's like they show signs of getting better and then they don't do it. And I don't quite know what that is. So maybe their time's up. Maybe it's caught up with them a little bit quicker than they hoped. So maybe Bournemouth. I'm probably predicting Bournemouth to go down, to be honest, with Villa and Norwich. I think West Ham. I was looking at West Ham's fixtures, and they've got a better chance of surviving, because they've got home games against Aston Villa, Burnley and Watford. I mean, if you're in a relegation battle with 10 games to go, you want the teams around you. You want to be playing them, because it's almost like a shootout. It's a genuine 6-pointer. So if you got Watford, you know that you've got to win that match. It's simple as that. You're not looking at other results, because you know that if you beat the team in front of you, they're going to be 3 points behind you and you've got the momentum and all that kind of thing. So looking at Watford, that's a genuine chance for them to win a game at home. They've got Burnley, who obviously are tough, but they're not amazing, are they? And then you've got Villa again. So you've got 2 6-pointers coming up there. And then you've got away games.
Sadly, those are exactly the type of games that you almost expect West Ham to disappoint you with when they come up against them. But I've just suddenly realised as well that we could be in a situation where 2 of the 3 relegated sides have had victories over the top two, which would be incredible. I can't remember that happening before, because obviously Watford, the only team to beat Liverpool as the season stands, and that incredible victory at Carrow Road over Man City for Daniel Farkside.
Mm. Well, Norwich are going to die on the sword, aren't they? I think that, you know, like Marley says, they've been attractive to watch, but they haven't changed their style, and I think they've not really adapted to Premier League football, so that's why they find themselves down there. For me, I can't see Watford. I just think Watford's crowning glory, their moment of the season, was beating Liverpool, and I think they lost their next game after that, if I'm not mistaken. So, I mean, I think that high was already ridden at that moment, and I don't think they utilise that momentum whatsoever. So for me, I still think Watford will go down. But you've both chosen Norwich and Aston Villa, so it's a toss-up between that final relegation place. So who are we giving it to, guys? Come on, you're going to have to make a decision between you. Bournemouth, West Ham, who's it going to be?
I think Marley's probably called it right. The romance has got the better of me. But you're right, that run is going to make such a difference. But I still think there's a chance for Bournemouth, but it looks like that Eddie Howe's time in the Premier League, at least with this team, is over.
Yeah, I think just looking at the fixtures has swung it for me. I think Bournemouth are a better footballing side than Watford. However, I think Watford have got easier games and a little bit of momentum instilled in them by Nigel Pearson, and I just think Bournemouth's time could be up. I think I'd probably pick them, yeah, Watford. Bournemouth.
I was going to say, change his mind again. So then, on the What Might Have Been Football Social Daily podcast, our relegated teams, no more Norwich, adios Aston Villa, and bye bye Bournemouth. Those are the teams that will be relegated from the Premier League. Right then, a couple more to get through. Firstly, I want to ask you both, top goal scorer. Now, this is a good one because we've seen it kind of flip-flop between different players a few times this season. Leading the way currently is Jamie Vardy at Leicester City. Now, considering he had a big goal drought the other side of Christmas, I think it was his longest goal drought in his professional career, actually, over 2 months without a goal. And yet he's still up there in the goal-scoring charts, closely tailed by Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. I think Tammy Abraham and Sergio Aguero are also close by. I think it's going to be between those two, isn't it? Vardy and Aubameyang. So, Ant McGinley, who's picking up the golden boot this season?
Well, I think a lot of Jamie, the reason for Vardy's there at this point is because he had that run, was it 9-10 games of scoring in every game, breaking the record early in the season, which really pushed him forward. Obviously, Leicester have had a great season. That's helped as well. I think the interesting thing in this is just in terms of Arsenal as a side, and Aubameyang and the way he's played, and he's by far the outstanding player in that front line for Arsenal. However, there's been a lot of question marks over him for a long time, and this might be his last season. And sometimes you see a little extra performance when somebody's looking for a move away or to increase their value, which could add a little something in there. At the other end, you've got Jamie Vardy with a team that he's looking to bring back into European competition, back into the Champions League, which was so great to see when we saw Leicester there fearlessly going through that. So I think it comes down to the players around them that's going to make the difference. And I think Aubameyang's going to score more goals. Vardy's going to be involved in more goals. We've seen him being a lot more involved in the build-up. But I think in terms of performance and opportunities and victories, considering you've only got 9 games left, those opportunities to score, I think because they're playing for more, they're riding high, you're going to go with Leicester, which means I'm going to sort of put my eggs in the Jamie Vardy basket to get the golden boot.
Well, I'm going with Aubameyang. So, Marley, the deciding vote comes to you. Is it going to be Vardy? Is it going to be Aubameyang or someone else entirely?
Do you know what? I'm reluctant to not throw Sergio Aguero into the mix, to be honest. he's got three fewer goals than Vardy. And just looking at the fixtures again before, I mean, Man City have got Bournemouth at home, and I think Aguero could easily bag four or five in that game by himself. But going back to sticking with either Vardy or Aubameyang, I would say Vardy has the better chance of hanging on to it. He's got a 2-goal lead, so he's got 19, and Aubameyang's got 17. And what I've always liked about Jamie Vardy is he scores against everyone. His top six record of scoring against the big clubs is insane. Like, he scored something like 25 in 30 or in 30 games against them or something like that over the years since he's been in the Premier League, and that's a big plus, because there literally isn't a team you wouldn't back him to score against. I think with Aubameyang, with Arsenal's formation changing slightly in the few weeks before the lockdown hit, Aubameyang was playing from the left of midfield, and I don't think that's his best position for scoring goals. I think he will still score goals from that position, but not enough to make up a two-goal deficit on Vardy. So I would back Vardy to stick with his golden boot and stick that in his trophy cabinet at the age of, I think he's 32 now, so it's not a bad way to celebrate getting into your 30s by still proving that you're one of the hottest strikers in the league. So yeah, I'd stick with Vardy for me.
Can I just back up what you said about Sergio being an outside bet? He is, of course, I don't know if you've seen this recently, and it's something we've known for a while as City fans, but he has the record for the highest ratio of goals per minute, 107 minutes for every goal. Now, that's sort of slightly to do with the fact that he's had a lot of trouble with hamstrings. He's also been involved in two car crashes, and so he has
2 months off every season.
Yeah,
every season he just gives himself 2 months off through injury. Yeah, in quotation marks.
He did this well. Like last season, he was in Amsterdam and was in a taxi that was in a car crash. There was another little bump earlier this year as well. So I don't know if he was in driving in one of those or not, but he's not the best look in that situation. But he's very rarely had the consistency of a season to play in every single game, but his record's amazing when you look at the amount of goals that he scored. He's up to 164 goals in the Premier League now. That's over 8 seasons. So he is definitely going to be with us for one more season, I think. But I think Marley's right. It's in terms of like a late surge for the outside bet, the only problem with that is what do Man City have to play for at this point?
Mm. And he's only 100 goals behind Alan Shearer, just to keep Marley happy. You have to mention that. Anyway, our top goal scorer award goes to Jamie Vardy on the What Might Have Been podcast, which means that there is just one section left to fill out, and that is the Europa League spots this season. 5, 6, 7. Now, the Europa League this season has been interesting if you're a Premier League supporter, to say the least, because Arsenal were hotly tipped to be successful in the competition, shockingly knocked out by Olympiacos. Wolves have been fighting on the European front since July. They had to qualify in the first place, and now they look like they might have a good chance to go deep into the competition. And of course, Manchester United keep getting those favourable draws, and who could look past a club with Manchester United's prestige and calibre in European competition? But will it be the same clubs finishing in the European spots this season? Because we've seen Arsenal struggle this campaign. Unai Emery was sacked, Mikel Arteta was brought in. Wolverhampton Wanderers, they seem to be doing well on both fronts, both in the Europa League and qualifying for the Europa League again for another season. And Manchester United also look like they might be surging up the table. However, that leaves clubs like Spurs out of the mix. It's going to be a tough one, this. Europa League spots, Marley. I mean, you've already mentioned that you think Leicester might finish fifth. So who's filling out the other two spots?
Providing there's two... There should be two spots, shouldn't they? It depends on who wins the FA Cup if there's an extra spot, isn't there? I'd probably go for Leicester. I think Wolves will... I don't think Wolves will drop off too much, so I think they'll probably secure one. If there's another one...
That's hard, isn't it? It's between Arsenal, Spurs...
It is hard because Spurs were so bad, weren't they, before the lockdown and everything happened. I think Spurs were awful, so if you're looking at where they are, but then again, Harry Kane's back now, so if it does resume, you'd probably fancy them a little bit more. But for the sake of what we're talking about, we've got to assume Kane was injured, so I wouldn't have backed Spurs at all. Arsenal, it's Arsenal and Sheffield United for me. I think again it would have been close. I mean, 1 point or goal difference or something, it wouldn't surprise me at all. God, they've played the same amount of games and everything. 3 points in it.
Toss a coin, Marley.
I'd probably go for Arsenal. I don't know why. I have no idea why. Just with Sheffield United's lack of goals, maybe that might have might have hindered them slightly. I think Arsenal, the goal difference is very similar. So if you're talking a lack of goals, I think Arsenal are more capable of putting three or four past a team in the remaining 10 games than Sheffield United. So maybe if it did come down to that close, I think Arsenal would have overtaken them. Although what a story it would have been if Sheffield United would have held on to it. So I'd pick Arsenal if I'm hard pushed, which let's assume I am being. I'd pick Arsenal.
Well, we've given Chris Wilder Manager of the Season award. I think certainly he'd be even in with even more of a shout if Sheffield United do finish in the Europa spots. For me, I think the prediction that you made, Ant, of them finishing top 10 is accurate, but I just can't see them sliding into the Europa League spots. I mean, I think one of your Europa teams, Ant, would be Chelsea. So, who's making up the others?
Well, I think the interesting thing about this is, as Molly said, depends on who wins the FA Cup. And remember as well, at this stage, Manchester City are going to be banned from European competition. So that means... I think that means that they're going to drop down the places. So potentially Arsenal could already be in Europa League qualification. I think Sheffield United getting that could be would be an amazing thing to have. There are these things where you say, well, maybe they've got it too soon. Obviously, we've seen previously that Burnley, you know, got the Europa League and didn't really want it because of the impact that it had on their season. I don't think that Chris Wilder or the Blades fans would approach it that way. as it stands at the minute, just ahead of them are Wolverhampton Wanderers, and you did say, who could overlook Manchester United? Well, I'm your man for doing that. I mean, obviously, both those teams are doing very well as it stands, and at this stage, we still don't know if we're even going to see the FA Cup or the Europa League or the Champions League played out and seen through, but there is a potential for one of those English sides to go ahead and pick that up, which again causes a bit of a headache slash bonus for those teams around. So there's a couple of questions, like who would you like to see and who do you think's got it in the locker to get there? Of course, we would all like to see Sheffield United get there. I think Sheffield United are going to be able to grind it out, and they're going to be able to stay around the 7th, possibly even a 6th place finish, which is wonderful. And then it just kind of depends what happens on the table around them and other results in other competitions to whether that would be enough for them to get in. Yes, I think Chelsea would be my other team for going in. In terms of the outsiders, I think Arsenal could be back into it. But I think Tottenham might just sneak it. They might just have enough with Mourinho grinding that out. So, yeah, I'd say... I mean, to be honest, it's really confusing the way you think, with all this being so up in the air. I've like got 7 different teams in my head that could be going through for Europa League. But who I think might sneak in is Spurs, and who I'd really like to see get there is Sheffield United.
Sheffield United have got Chelsea, Spurs, Everton and Wolves at home.
Okay, so they've got home games in the bank against difficult teams, which might be a bonus to them. So that might help them get into those Europa spots.
Plus as well... They're not facing anybody in a relegation battle as well, in terms of their last... I mean, arguably Southampton, who are very slightly on the edge of it, but there's no real scraps going, and it's a lot of mid-table games they've got to get through. So they do have a favourable run-in to help them. Now, perhaps that will sway your decision.
I would very much love to see Southampton in the relegation zone, but even me, the most ardent Pompey fan, cannot see that happening at this stage, although it looked very, very likely earlier on in the season. Yeah, I don't know. I think Sheffield United will finish outside of the Europa spots. I think they'll finish probably maybe 9th. I think Manchester United will finish in the Europa League spots. I do. I think Chelsea will finish 4th. That's my prediction. And I think the other two teams will be Wolverhampton Wanderers and I think Arsenal under Arteta. I think they've only lost one game under Arteta in the Premier League, and that was against Chelsea, I think. So I do think that Arsenal will sneak in there. So my Europa spot teams will be Wolves, Manchester United and Arsenal. Which means that we've concluded our What Might Have Been podcast. I mean, is everyone happy with the decisions we've made?
Relatively.
Probably not, and relatively, which means it's been a resounding success.
The only thing that we didn't mention is the fact that Newcastle were nailed on to win the FA Cup. So if we could finish on that and have no arguing, that'd be great.
Could this be a more perfect way to end the Mike Ashley era than us doing a prediction of the Premier League table and Newcastle feature in absolutely none of the categories? They're not going down. They're not in the Europa League places. No manager of the season and no top goal scorer. Of course, Newcastle fit that criteria. Anyway, thanks very much, Marley. Thank you, Ant.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And don't forget to hit subscribe on the podcast as well, because when Premier League football is back up and running again in full swing, we'll be in full swing too here on Football Social Daily. We'll be back to our daily schedule. 7 days a week, you can get Premier League updates and news, and of course, opinion on your favourite teams, all 20 teams in the Premier League we cover. So make sure you hit that subscribe button. Also, follow us on social media at The Sports Social on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. But that's it for now, and we'll see you on the next podcast.
Football Social Daily with German Doner Kebab. Get it delivered to your door via Deliveroo or Uber Eats.
Right, okay, you've listened through the boring end credits. I shouldn't say that really, because they've got our sponsors messaging. We love you, German Doner Kebab. But that means you've got to this little Easter eggy bit at the end of the podcast where we discussed what might have been in the Premier League season had it not have been suspended. Now, of course, we don't want to keep you for too long, so we'll try and rattle through this as quick as possible. But just as we went off the podcast, Ant McGinley said, "What about goal of the season? What about player of the season?" So then, Ant, the stage is yours. Goal of the season, player of the season. Who are your contenders? Let everyone know.
Well, I just really want to get this in. And you could arguably put it in for both categories, the player behind this. He is the most... he's got to be the most tired man in the Premier League. And he's the one person... and he's the one person who would have been glad to have this whole furlough bit where everybody's stuck at home. Except he didn't get to do that because he had to go back home to South Korea to serve in the Marines. Now, arguably, now I've heard reports that he basically just was sat in an office for 3 weeks. But still, I'm of course talking about the Spurs wonder player that is Heung-Min Son. And I'm nominating him for this goal, not just because it's a brilliant goal, but when you think about the last couple of seasons that he's had, the success that he's had on the field. When Spurs have been without Harry Kane, he stepped up, he's done brilliantly. He's been consistent for them. He's travelled back and forth to South Korea, been consistent for them. He's had success there. He scored in the World Cup as well. He's just been on fire. I think he's played more games than my Sunday league team. And the goal that he scored was not the goal of a man, and that I'm putting forward, it was not the goal of a man who is knackered. Right? This is the goal, if you remember it, from December against Burnley, where he ran from his own half, and it was like one of those video games where all the players on the other team come around you, and he manages to outrun them all. It's this surging run all the way through, and a beautiful finish. It is by far my goal of the season, not just for as visually, but when you take it in the context of, you're thinking, this guy must be knackered, he must want to lie down every time somebody passes them the ball, but he has the heart, he has the drive, he has the motivation. He's a glorious player to watch, and it's an amazing goal.
Unfortunately for you, Marley, my goal of the season goes to Kevin De Bruyne against Newcastle United, where, like an absolute rocket, I don't know whether he struck it on the half volley, I can't quite remember, I think it was, but it came off his foot at about 400 miles an hour like a space rocket and smashed the underside of the bar. I mean, Dubravka's a good goalkeeper, but even he had no chance with that. So that would be my goal of the season, Kevin De Bruyne at St James's Park against Newcastle United, where he chested it down and then just absolutely levered the volley in off the underside of the bar. So for me, De Bruyne takes the crown for goal of the season. You are undoubtedly going to go for a Newcastle player, aren't you?
Do you know what? If you'd have came to me before you said yours, I was going to say De Bruyne, because I was thinking about that ridiculous volley he scored. But now you've nominated it, I feel it's my duty to nominate a different one. And as anyone who's ever listened to this podcast would not be surprised by, I'm going for another goal that happened at St James's Park, which is Matty Longstaff against Man United. Goal. On his Premier League debut, it's just the things you absolutely dream of this moment. As he would have went to bed the night before dreaming of just something, just half a chance, or just to even play well, never mind scoring. But when we had the counter-attack, I think Almiron played a great ball up, and it ended up getting laid off to Longstaff on the edge of the box, and the whole crowd was just like silent in anticipation, like, go on, son, smack it, just give it everything you've got, and he just ripped it bottom corner, straight past De Gea. He had no chance, and it was just one of the moments where you just felt the emotion of this local lad scoring in front of his home fans, 52,000. And it was just, it was an amazing moment, great goal, and the whole sort of action of scoring that kind of goal in front of your fans is just amazing. And then he scored against Man United again on Boxing Day in Old Trafford, but we lost that match, so let's not talk about that.
We'll forget about that one. But the goal at St James's on his debut certainly will be long remembered by Newcastle fans and by Mehdi Longstaff himself, of course. So that's Marley's goal of the season. Come on then, Ant, finish us off. Who are you going with? Player of the season? Please don't say Jordan Bryan Henderson, as I've seen a few other people suggest on social media. It might well be him, but with a middle name like Bryan, I don't think I could stomach it.
I mean, he's just, would he not just be, is it just me, or is he the least fashionable player to ever be up for player of the season? And I just don't get it. I mean, I respect for the guy. I think he's done wonderfully for England and for Liverpool. But he's just...
He's had a great season.
Yeah.
He's had a great season. But has he had a better season than some of his teammates even?
Yeah, that's it. And also as well, like, he's just like if you're... Put it like this, right? You're playing FIFA and you open the pack of players, right? What's the noise you elicit when you open and you've got Messi? You go, oh, yes! Right? If you get, you know, Kevin De Bruyne, you're like, all right! If you get Jordan Henderson, you're like, meh. And that's the problem for me. I think he's the new James Milner. And so I'm going to go for the guy you nominated for goal of the season. So he could be on for a double here. And it's Kevin De Bruyne. And he's on 15 assists. That's more than one in two for this season. He got 16 last season, even with the injuries that he had, and 18 the year before. Now, the last time anybody got three seasons in a row with the most assists, who was that?
No idea. Henri?
No, David Beckham. So
wow.
This is this kind of season that he is having. And this is also a player who's never won a PFA or any of those awards as well. So I think this is possibly his best chance of getting player of the season. And I've seen him shortlisted in a few places. He may not get it because the chances are it will go to somebody at Liverpool and well-deserved. But I'm going to put my money behind De Bruyne for this one.
Okay, so Kevin De Bruyne wins my Goal of the Season award. He wins Ant's Player of the Season award. Marley, come on then. Who's getting the award for Player of the Season this year in the What Might Have Been stakes? Is it Henderson?
Do you know what? I as biased as I usually am, there is not one Newcastle player I could even possibly nominate without bursting out laughing for this award.
Dubravka's been
class. He's been all right. He's been good, but come on, compared to De Bruyne and the likes. Do you know what? Yeah. Thinking of Jordan Henderson, I don't even think Jordan Henderson's been the best player called Henderson this season, because Dean Henderson at Sheffield United has been way better in terms of what he's done and what impact he's had on his club. I think Dean Henderson's been way better than Jordan Henderson.
I'm going to steal that and tweet that.
that's going to be the little audiogram we do.
So what, is Dean Henderson on the list for you then?
He would be, but I couldn't. I've got to agree with you. I think De Bruyne has been the best. I mean, similar to what Ants just said about you know, opening the FIFA packs and what have you. When you watch a football match, I'm like happy to watch De Bruyne. Like, when De Bruyne is on the field, I want to see him get the ball and I want to see what he does with it, because he'll come up with some ridiculous pass, or the vision and the understanding of the game he's got, his technique and everything's just like spot on. Jordan Henderson is a good player, but he's, to steal a Zidane phrase, he's the water carrier of the Liverpool team, isn't he? And I don't think water carriers should win Player of the Year awards, never mind Player of the Premier League award, never mind that. So for me, it'd be De Bruyne, because I just think he's more incisive and he makes his team tick more than Henderson does in terms of assists, goals, everything like that. Henderson's got 3 goals and 5 assists all year. I don't think that's the type of stats you need to be putting up to win Player of the Season in a league-wide award. So I'd go with De Bruyne. As much as I'd love to go for Alan Saint-Maximin or someone like that. I can't do that without laughing. So I'd go for Kevin De Bruyne as well.
KDB wins the Player of the Season award here on Football Social Daily. We're going to have loads of angry Liverpool fans in our mentions at the Sports Social on Twitter. Go on, give these boys a bit of abuse if they deserve it, from your opinion. Not even the best player called Henderson, Marley says. I love it. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Thanks for listening to this little Easter egg bit. And we'll catch you on the next one.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com, and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.